so good to see you all, and happy Easter. And I pray that through the worshiping this morning, you will have a visit from the Holy Spirit and receive the assurance of God's presence in your life personally, and be joyous. Protecting the federal law, the Union, and abolishing slavery were primary objectives for Abraham Lincoln. But he had faced many other challenging issues, such as expansion to the West and American Indians. To build the railroad to the West, the Union took over a vast land of Indians. Lincoln needed an Indian commissioner who could build a good relationship between the Union and the Indians. So he called in Ben Wade and Senator Daniel Voorhees to discuss the appointment of an Indian commissioner. Explaining what kind of man he wanted to appoint. "Gentlemen, for an Indian commissioner," said the president, "I want a pure-minded, moral, Christian man, frugal, and self-sacrificing. I think," interrupted Voorhees, "that you won't find him." "Why not?" "Because, Mr. President," said the senator, "he was crucified about 1,800 years ago." He should have mentioned that he also rose from the dead. The crucifixion of Jesus was executed in a public display that Roman officials, Jewish religious leaders, and the crowd eyewitnessed the event. Many followers stayed until his last breath next to the cross. What the Roman historian Tacitus wrote was one of the earliest records of the crucifixion outside the biblical resource. Tacitus reported on Nero's accusation of Christians of the fire that destroyed Rome in 64 AD as follows. "Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hand of Pontius Pilatus." All met the description, the historical descriptions. There are no written recordings available for the resurrection other than the biblical recordings. But think about the following. Hundreds of people met the risen Christ after Easter morning until Jesus was taken up to heaven. And the entire New Testament was written by eyewitnesses, not only of the crucifixion, but of the resurrection. Their reports on the crucifixion and the resurrection demonstrated genuine integrity, thereby satisfied a critical element of reporting actual events. Most of the New Testament, if not all, were circulated during the time when the eyewitnesses were still alive and active, and thereby were verified by the early churches and the believers. So could they lie? They couldn't. Beyond the eyewitnesses and historical writings, are there any physical pieces of evidence of the crucifixion and resurrection that are available today? The hints on the evidence are given in the gospel lesson this morning. Do you see what they are? Mary Magdalene had been to the tomb earlier. Hearing the report from her, John and Peter ran to the tomb. We do not know their age, but John seemed a bit younger and stronger, so he ran faster than Peter could. John arrived at the tomb first. he did not go in, but bent over and saw the empty tomb with the strips of linen. Peter arrived later and went straight into the tomb. Peter saw the strip of linen and the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. A lot of critics downplay the recordings of the gospel and the Bible in general. But the Bible demonstrates the accuracy of recordings, and this passage is one of the examples. Look at the difference in action between John and Peter. John bent over and did not go in, for he was a contemplator and would not jump to take action. On the other hand, Peter ran straight into the tomb, which shows that he would do and say things without a second thought. And we have a couple of incidents because of this haste personality of Peter that we can find in the gospel. Now, who could see inside the tomb better? John outside or Peter inside the tomb? Peter, of course. John glanced the strips of linen lying there, but Peter saw in detail the strips of linen and the cloth that wrapped around Jesus' head and their locations. Two pieces of burial cloth agree with the tradition of Jews during the time of Jesus. The distinct actions of the disciples correspond to their characters. The two different actions correspond to two different observations. Therefore, we can conclude that the description of their actions and findings was accurate. So, what piece of evidence do we have today? The number one is the empty tomb in the old city of Jerusalem. The second one is the long linen that covered the body of Jesus. The third one is the head covering. Repeated descriptions of the linen and the cloth may indicate that the early Christians had treasured them. So what has happened to them? The linen that covered the body of Jesus is believed to be housed in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. It is called the Shroud of Turin, you have heard of. There are many skeptics about its authenticity, but the findings are so staggering and worthy of note. The linen was in tight contact with the corpse and had imprints of a dead man and his scars like photographic negatives. Gospels describe that Jesus was scourged, struck in the face, crowned with thorns, and carried the cross. He was crucified by nailing his hands and feet, his side was pierced, and his legs were not broken. The shroud shows so many flogging patterns with the typical Roman whip. Bloodstains and imprints on the shroud show a trace of a crown of thorns on his head. The person was slapped and beaten on his face. His legs were not broken. His hands and feet were nailed. His sides were pierced. Forearm blood flow is consistent with arms held up and out. Thumbs are flexed out of view due to likely nerve damage at the wrist. The blood came out of his side after his death. Sign of heavy object rubbing on his shoulder after scourging was supposedly the mark from carrying the heavy wooden planks on his shoulders. The body shows sign of horrible death. The fabric material, its weaving pattern, the physical dimension, the size strip stitch, and pollen found on it belong to the first century. At the bottom of the shroud, the researchers found dust of limestone that is native to Jerusalem. 58 different kinds of pollen were found on the shroud, and 55 of them belonged to the Jerusalem area. Only 3 belonged to the area where the shroud was once kept. One particular pollen points to a plant called the Zygohilum dumosum, which was used for the crown of thorns. This plant blooms between March and May in Israel, corresponding to the time of the crucifixion. A renowned photographer, Barry Short from Santa Barbara, examined it and concluded that the pattern on the shroud was not a painting. Though he is an Orthodox Jew, he said, after 20 years of investigation, it was a shock to me to discover that the piece of cloth was the authentic cloth that had been wrapped the body of Jesus. Now, the only question left is the carbon dating, which is a scientific method to decide the age. Pieces of fabric were sent to labs, and the test result showed that the fabric was from 1250 and 1350 AD. This is why most skeptics argue that the shroud was a fabrication. But Raymond N. Rogers from Los Alamos National Laboratory examined the radiocarbon sample from the Shroud of Turin and concluded that the sample was not part of the original cloth of the Shroud of Turin and invalidated the carbon dating done to it. Why the sample was not a part of the original cloth? A record shows that the churches showed it to the pilgrims once a week. You can imagine that priests were holding the shroud on the corners. And because of the frequent usage and its age, the corners were torn out and worn out and later repaired. It was why the sample from a corner was tested to be from 1250 to 1350. The third physical evidence is the cloth that once covered the head of Jesus. It is stored in the Cathedral of San Salvador, Oviedo, Spain. It is called the Sudarium of Oviedo. Sudarium in Latin means sweat cloth. The finding in this cloth are very remarkable as well. It shows the blood type AB, as same as the one found in the Shroud of Turin, the blood stain, facial geometry, the length of the nose, and the origin of the blood overlap perfectly with those pattern on the Shroud of Turin. 16 types of balloons were found in the cloth, and 9 of them were from plants that grow in Palestine. Researchers concluded that the Sudarium of Oviedo and the Shroud of Turin were used for the same person. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I have seen many of the YouTube channels and read so many articles to come up with this. But it's absolutely fascinating what they have found behind. And then, you know, my personal opinion, I had a little bit of chemical background, and I used to be a chemical analyst before I came to the United States. I know that the X-rays can alter the carbon dating. No, seriously, it happens, okay? A lot of fabricators, they falsify the something that to be the as a really, really old, they shoot the X-ray into the object, and then it would become very, very old, or something like that. If you remember, in the gospel when on the morning of the Easter there was an earthquake, right? And then when there was an earthquake, there would have been a lot of X-rays flying everywhere in the tomb. And another that may have altered the dating. And another thing is, they say that when these all imprints were created, there was an ultraviolet light illuminating from within, not from outside, from within, from the body itself, right? That's why all these imprints were created. And I believe that, you know, Jesus is a light. The light emanating from his body would have altered the age of the cloth. Regardless, we have these pieces of evidence of the crucifixion and resurrection available to us today. But the best evidence is our personal encounter with the risen Christ. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was about the same age or a little younger than Jesus was, which means that he would have heard of Jesus from his young age. When he was persecuting Christians, a lot of eyewitnesses of Jesus were still around. Stephen was one of them. Paul was there when Stephen was being stoned and martyred. But hearing about Jesus did not give him the faith until he met the risen Christ personally on the road to Damascus. People can visit the empty tomb in Jerusalem. They can go to see the Shroud of Turin in Italy and Sudarium of Oviedo in Spain. But they still may not believe in the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It is a personal encounter with the risen Christ that can take away all our doubts and skepticism. The risen Christ may be invisible, but by faith we see and meet him. Clouds of witnesses surround us. The evidence of God's presence is everywhere. But the evidence that convinces us more than anything is our personal encounter with the risen Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.